Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese. For my money, the best Creedence song.
I don't have one. Every time I think, oh my gosh, this is the song I like best. And then, you know, invariably I'll be listening to some movie or something. And John Fogerty is ubiquitous. I mean, yes. He's just everywhere. Yes. He's absolutely from you know, Chevrolet commercials to Big Lebowski, you will hear that voice. And I don't know. I love it all.
Yeah.
He was doing early in the pandemic, he was gathering with his family, you know, in the hills above LA, like around a fire pit, like you do.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can't begrudge him. He earned it. So, but it was just great. And he was just doing like these, you know, he had this little 20 watt amp and whatever. And his, you know, probably his son or daughter, whatever, they had to get the acoustic guitar. They were just doing Creedence and Fogerty hits. And I love it. I love it. Great. I was actually just even, listening to the Bob Dylan 30th anniversary. He's everywhere. And he's great.
Even Fogerty himself essentially admitted that it's hard to choose a Creedence song. He had a late 2000s album, Creedence song. The line in it is, one of the lines in the chorus is, you can't go wrong playing a Creedence song.
Love it.
He's right.
Yeah, that's right.
I think like that them or AC/DC, and you're pretty good at any backyard cookout.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just super safe.
Bruce Pratt weighs in. He said, well, again, can't disagree. He says, who will stop the rain?
I know. Then you're like, damn, you're right. That might be the best.
I was going to say Run Through the Jungle. Well, okay,
Run Through the Jungle. Like, I mean, again, yeah. you just keep doing it. It's like it's like Tom Hanks movies. you can't eat just one.
No,
they're the Lays of. True. There we go. I don't even know why we're here. We're here to talk about wine, folks.
And so good to see you here.
Thank you. It's nice that despite the fact that today I actually turned out today to be busier than last week when I had to beg off from coming in. I'm like, you know what? Whatever. And the Maelstrom can visit WKIT the studios as well as anywhere else. So yeah, I'm here.
Welcome.
I did have that thought as I walked out to my vehicle from my house to come over here. Am I forgetting any given person at any given location? I've been really good, but it's that time of year where you think you're settled in and then they spring on you. Oh, that's right. We started clubs this week. And you can't start things. No, Dad's not that good.
Leave no child behind. I thought of you yesterday. When I had a meeting at school after school and then had to get to my son's school to pick him up, and I needed things to break just right. To get there on time, and they didn't.
No.
There were obstacles in the way, and I told Carrie when I came in, if a deputy sheriff shows up, I'll just leave quietly.
Yeah,
because
I know.
Some laws were broken.
State Street Construction, and I didn't get along yesterday because my wife called last second for something that she had forgotten and she needed it. You know, I'm leaving right now. I'm like, well, we'll do our best.
Yes. We make no promises.
Speaking of doing our best, before we run out of time, all right, we're talking about American viticulture. We talked about California. Now we're going to start to talk about the rest of North America. Then we'll delve into South America, etc. Central America, really, with the exception of if you want to, there's nothing. We won't even talk about it. I mean, with due respect, but we won't. currently, all 50 states produce wine, right? We are the fourth largest wine-producing nation after Italy, Spain, and France. I always like to bring this up, however. We are the sixth most planted country. France, Italy, Spain, China, and Turkey. Turkey.
Beats, I would not have
beats
thought
us.
That.
It's just the wow. It's the most bizarre thing, but this is the truth. They make a lot of spirit out of it as well as other things. We've had grapes forever and ever and ever. When the Vikings got here, they dubbed us Vinland, and we had all the grapes, lots of grapes. None of them really, though, that we really like to drink as our modern society. They were not of the type of grape, Vitis vinifera, the strain of grape that genetically that that tastes good, right, to us as human beings. Your Merlots, your Cabernet Sauvignons, your Chardonnays, these are vitis vinifera. We will briefly touch on the fact that we are definitely, especially with climate change, but also just with the desire of people to do agritourism, etc., in all these 50 states, there are increasing reliances on hybrid varieties that have been crossed with some of these other genetic strains to make them a little bit more adaptable to cold weather, like we have here in Maine, for instance. So there you go. 89% of all wine, however, in North America, in the U.S., rather, I should say, is produced in California, which is why we kind of start off with that in our first month. But what else is out there, right? So the two states with the fewest at two each are Delaware and Mississippi.
Hmm.
So, Mississippi, Delaware, get on it.
Step up.
Delaware actually has a prayer because they are in that weird mid-Atlantic area that's kind of like Bordeaux, and that's what, you know, New Jersey actually is kind of thriving in that way. We're sipping on a Sauvignon Blanc today here in studio from Long Island.
Oh,
Very
nice.
It's very nice. It's very nice. It'll please your mother-in-law. And it's that sort of, in our worst, swampiest days here in midsummer, those of us from that part of the world were kind of complaining about how we moved north to avoid that sort of weather. But that's the kind of weather that you have down there, and that's, you know, it's sort of favorable. Mississippi, they're probably holding on to fairy tales and dreams, but that's okay. Good for them. But East Coast attempts, right? So, like, when we got over here, and I think I mentioned this at the start of last month, just to kind of mention, you know, especially with Hamilton making a resurgence for our forefathers and all these new discoveries, etc., and revisiting that time, our forefathers liked wine. They tried to grow wine. They tried to grow vitis vinifera. It didn't work because of the phylloxera louse, which we've talked about a lot. So I won't revisit it too much now. But basically, as we found, when you planted vitis vinifera on North American root stocks, it would survive and indeed thrive. And so that's how we eventually, you know, people are like, well, if it didn't work back then, how is it working now? Well, the same way it worked over in Europe when phylloxera killed 99% of their vineyards, they and we realized, okay, if we combine our forces, right, Wonder Team Powers Unite, of vitis vinifera and North American root stock, right? So the stuff that goes in the ground, and then the louse goes up and it's like, hell, I don't really like this. And they never get any farther than that. So it's delightful. It's almost like a mask blocking out a disease that would harm a wide segment of the grapes. This is all theoretical.
Right.
But I'm just,
right,
it's
right.
A, it's, it just, a, anyway, moving on. but yeah, so and grapes are fun to play with, right? So as I was mentioning, we figured that out. The grafting. We've also been interbreeding grapes for years, and not just us. They do it over in places, frankly, where they have cold weather, right? So Switzerland does a lot of this. They're doing a lot of research in Canada as well. But here in places like at Cornell University, right? Obviously in upstate New York, things like that. In places like Wisconsin, they're doing a lot of research into, you know, crossing things and seeing what's best going to survive. And, you know, the history of North American wine is kind of weird and all over the place. I mean, the first commercial success, was in Ohio, right? Pink Catawba. Everybody has heard of that, right? No. Although I have noticed, you know, in very infinitesimal ways, I've actually noticed Pink Catawba on the market again. So obviously someone, you know, I mean, it's something to market. So what the hell? Might as well market it, right? It was, again, the first commercial success, like back in the 1800s, late 1800s. It was sort of like your Matus, your Lancers. It was kind of like that sweet, bubbly Pink Catawba. It was just from Ohio. Fill in the comment section as you will. So what was I saying? Long Island, Mid-Atlantic, yada, yada, yada. Oh, yes. New York obviously has Long Island, but it also has the Finger Lake region. I was talking about Cornell, right? Obviously, they are on one of the Finger Lakes. If anybody out there doesn't know what the Finger Lakes are, they are a series of glacial lakes, sort of finger-like appendages, hence the name, that are really excellent. They are, for better or worse because of the climate shift, really in optimal condition to grow a lot of the grapes that Americans like to drink. Riesling is really fantastic there. Pinot Noir is doing well as some of the hybrid things like Baco Noir, etc., that are available up there. Cabernet Franc, right, the grape that we have both in Bordeaux, but more specifically in terms of flavor profile in the Loire Valley. Wonderful wine for this time of year that just goes with, well, for instance, tonight I've made Hungarian mushroom soup, and that would be absolutely perfect. However, I've selected a new white wine to go with it because, frankly, there's a lot of new wines out there, and I have some work to do. It's the best part of my job. I concur. But yeah, so the Finger Lakes are also really cool. Like, if you happen to be crossing through upstate New York for any reason, the agritourism industry there is vibrant, and there's actually wineries worth visiting. So if you happen to be going that way for any particular reason, crossing upstate New York, and you want to have a place to stay overnight, pop into the store. Maybe we can give you some ideas. But obviously, Constantine Frank, Boundary Breaks are some producers that are worth noting there. I am sure I'm running out of time. Very good. But yeah, so just to reiterate, there at Cornell, Minnesota, other places, they're doing a lot of research into things that, you know, because in these cooler climates, I mean, I'm sure anybody who went out this morning with hopes of maybe mowing their lawn or something noticed that there's just dew on the ground. There's moisture in the air. Even when it's kind of cool and crisp, it's still higher humidity than you necessarily want. So a lot of these hybrids are not aimed not just at, you know, faster ripening, but also the ability to resist things like powdery mildew and other sort of fungal problems that would happen to anything. I mean, you know, anybody who has gardens here who, you know, tries to grow something knows that, you know, sometimes you've got to work extra hard to prevent that sort of thing. So that's the reality. I'm being played off, so I just want to remind everybody, please mask up when you come into the store and get your jab, get your boosters, etc., and take care of each other, folks. Thanks.
Thanks, Eric. Good to see you again. Catch you next week. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor.